Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 92.3. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So, any incidents this last week? There hasn't been a lot of PPD stuff in the, news. That doesn't mean y'all aren't very active all the time. But I guess there was some kind of a burglary this morning. Is that right?
Yeah, everything was nice and Q-word until just a little while ago.
Q-word. That's so adorable. So
officers responded to a burglary in progress at the 4,000 block of McCoy Drive. I believe that's APAC Mid-South business over there for a vehicle burglary. And upon arrival, the suspect fled into an industrial area or a wooded area along some train tracks. Canine and drone were both utilized to help locate that individual. He was eventually located, and then when the officers approached him, he decided he wanted to fight them, several of them. So he was quickly shown or introduced to the taser. He was taken down without further incident. So besides that, it's been a very uneventful week since I last spoke with you.
Any officers or canine get hurt in the process?
Everybody's okay.
Okay, good. Well, outstanding. Excellent. So we'll take that as, a relatively Q-word week. Kind of like that.
That's right.
All right. You and I had a conversation last week about the so-called First Amendment auditor, the interaction between the Escambia County Sheriff's deputy and this, I'll just call him the dillhole with a camera and a TikTok feed. Some of our conversation got interrupted by phone issues, but there was more to this that you and I, we wanted to talk about, particularly because you go around the country and you literally train cops on this stuff, and not just cops, but the same principles apply to ordinary citizens. So talk to me about what you tell people and what's going on here.
Yeah, and if you look online or on these social media platforms, you're going to see more interactions, negative interactions, with regular people than you are police officers, because there's simply a lot more of them, and the officers are now becoming more and more aware or trained on how to handle these situations where the general public is not. So all this boils down to is money. With First Amendment auditors, they've become a significant source of income for content creators. Some of them get paid as much as $150,000 per month. Now, that's unusual, but some of them do. Most of them around $1,000, $2,000 area for the ones that get a lot of clicks by posting their videos online using various platforms where they request and receive donations from subscribers to help fund their work. Some of them also sell merchandise. So the more inflamed the interaction, the more views they get, and the more money that they make. And to make matters even worse, some of these auditors at times compete with each other for views and money, which further incentivizes them to engage in highly confrontational behavior to provoke an even greater negative response from officials, employees, and everyday people.
Okay.
All these interactions are video recorded, and the worst of them have been viewed just tens of thousands of times. And that's how they make money. They're doing this to make money, not necessarily to make sure everybody knows about the First Amendment, but they're doing it to make money.
So you're saying that the First Amendment auditors are not exactly engaging in the Seligman lecture series and educating the population. They're just trying to, create tension, cause problems, inflame, and then catch it on camera so that they can market that and be paid for it.
A lot of them. Now, there are some of them, and I personally know one, that's honestly out there to make sure people are aware of where people can film and where they can't. This individual has never been involved in a confrontation, not in it to make the money, but maybe he does. I don't know, but he doesn't seem that way. But some of them are actually out there, and once they let you know what their rights are and they're not challenged, then they just go about their business. But so, what can you do if you treat them like these aggressive ones, like a beehive? Just turn around and go the other way. Don't engage with them. But employees and officials should just be welcoming. If you have no choice and you have to engage with them, be welcoming, be friendly and helpful. This behavior will prevent escalation. It'll also likely shorten the encounter. So auditors make money from negative reactions by public officials, but not by positive ones. ones. Those are the ones, if you're very nice and there's not a confrontation, those are the ones that simply do not get uploaded to the internet because it's not going to make them any money.
Now, in Florida, we are a two-party consent state, but that's for, like, on the phone recordings and things, right? They don't have to get your permission just to be video recording you.
Right, that's on the phone. That's like if a bug was placed into a room or something like that, that's highly illegal unless there's a warrant or something like that that law enforcement would use. So, these folks know exactly what their rights are. They know where they can and cannot stand. And as you saw in the video with the sheriff's office, he was just trying to provoke her, trying to go and stand someplace, where he wasn't supposed to be, even though that was a right of way. So, they do know what they're doing as far as the law goes. So, and they want to make sure that you do too. And when you challenge them, that's when things start to go bad.
Mike, we've all seen videos of this sort, I think. We've also seen videos in various protests, and we've certainly seen videos that involve the police. But you're telling me that a lot of times they're perfectly happy to take the ordinary citizen and provoke them to, lash out, get angry, whatever, because that's their way of making money. So I'm a citizen, aside from just ignoring and walking away, any other strategies, tactics, tips? Because certainly, that's a very unsatisfying answer. I'm not saying it's a bad answer. I'm just saying, you want to be able to do something. Is there anything that you can do as a citizen?
Yeah, so just answer the questions calmly. If the counter becomes lengthy, just tell them that you need to get back to work or whatever it was before you were doing prior to that encounter, and turn around and go about your business. There's nothing that requires you to stay there. But what triggers people, especially older folks that aren't used to this, teachers, people that work inside medical office buildings, they see these people filming children. They see them filming patients, and they take offense to that, and we understand that. We understand why, because people simply don't want to be filmed. But a lot of times, especially near schools, they're just pointing those cameras at the playground just to get you going, just to get you to come confront them. They're not even recording those kids, but they want the confrontation.
And so,
the best thing to do is, and you can always call us. You can call the police. That way you're not engaging with them. Let us come over there, and if they're in a place where they can be, we will let you know that. And if you'll just ignore them, they'll turn around, they'll go away. The footage will never get uploaded, most likely. But if they're in a place they're not supposed to be, we will handle that.
It is interesting how often people misunderstand what the law, as you and I know, what the law is, what their rights are, what other people's rights are. I mean, my wife and I, we go biking all the time, and, we try to find good places to park where we're not going to cause anybody to be disturbed or where it's okay. But I still, we'll park on some neighborhood street. And I had an encounter where this guy, what you doing parking there? I'm like, on this street by the retention pond that's not even by anybody's house? Well, sir, I'm just parking. and you're not going to park on my street. I'm like, well, I mean, you can call the sheriff if you want, but I'm pretty sure the laws in Baldwin County allow this. And, it's amazing how poorly informed people are about the law. And once they get their own idea of how you're breaking it somehow or doing something that they don't like, they escalate emotionally as a reaction to their ignorance, right?
Yes, and that's exactly what makes these people money, is them escalating and getting emotional and causing clicks, and clicks cause money to come in.
So
if you put them, if everybody got together and ignored them or was not rude to them, did not confront them, you would simply put them out of business.
So I saw a clip on TV I was watching. It was somebody covering the Iran war, and it was a reporter who was being harassed by a crowd. And the one most notable idiot in the crowd was this woman who had chosen a whistle as her weapon of choice, and she was right up next to this reporter while this reporter is doing her report, whistling with the whistle in her ear. And I know for me, I thought, there is a point at which I can push you back at least if you're doing, because that's harm. You're hurting my ears. But you tell me, you're the cop. What can you do in that circumstance?
Yeah, if you're getting in somebody's personal space, if they're close enough to where they can reach you with their arm, they could strike you. That's putting you in reasonable fear. And that's all it takes. I mean, you do whatever you have to do to protect yourself. And most of the time, again, these folks know better than to do something like that to get in your personal space. But if that was to happen, then, of course, you can do what you need to do to protect yourself.
You know, it's an interesting contrast, as we've been talking all day about the First Amendment and the use of it, the purpose of it was to build a better society, to worship God, to create relationships with people, to advance the human cause. But there are also people, because of freedom is a freedom, and it protects you in the ability to do it well and also to do it poorly. And there are people who are using it poorly, and they are these so-called First Amendment auditors might think of themselves as sort of these chivalrous heroes protecting the First Amendment. I see them the way you see them, which is agitators who are causing problems, fracturing society, and predating, you know, being predators upon ordinary people for the purpose of money as opposed to really advancing the cause, at least most of them. We always like to end with a question, a did you know, a cop miss, something like that. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, and there's several. I'll have to put them in here very quickly. They're a myth about traffic stops. A lot of times you'll see these videos uploaded as well. As an officer will pull somebody over, and they will say that they do not have to show their driver's license. That is a myth. That's not true. When an officer pulls you over, you do have to show that license. Excuse me. So you're required by Florida State Statute 322.15 to produce your driver's license. You must also show your vehicle registration and proof of insurance. And the officer will eventually, if not right off the bat, but eventually he or she will also tell you why you're being stopped. You hear a lot of that. Why are you stopping me? That's going to be explained to you. And it's very common for another officer to arrive as backup. That's a policy that we have. It's a safety thing that we do, and most officers or departments do that. Even if you just roll through a stop sign, you may have two officers show up, and it's not that we think that you're a big, bad criminal or anything, but it's just officer safety because we simply don't know what we're getting into. So it's also true that the driver and the passengers must exit that vehicle if told to do so by officers. And if you don't, you can be arrested for obstruction. You do have the right to request the presence of a supervisor, though a lot of times the supervisor is already on the scene. You hear a lot of that being supervisors being requested. And the officer can force you to terminate a phone conversation if it interferes with their investigation, as you must comply with safety-related orders. So
even if you're talking
you do not
to the president?
Yeah, that came to mind. Even if you're talking with the president, if it's a safety issue, you know, if the officer's on the side of the interstate trying to get you to understand what's going on, trying to get you to talk to him or her, and you're on the phone, that's a problem. That's putting the officer in a bad spot. So you do have to terminate that phone conversation. You do get to keep your phone. You do get to record the encounter if you want to, but you do need to terminate that phone call if it becomes a safety issue for the officer.
And then what about the, like, license and registration in the sandwich baggie out the window, but nothing else that you see sometimes these professed legal experts telling you that that's all you have to do?
Well, we have to, and well, they did produce it, and the law says they have to produce it. So everything has to be done on a case-by-case basis after that.
You
know, we have some of those. Fortunately, not a lot of that going on, but it does happen, and we handle that on a case-by-case basis.
And when
it all depends on why they were originally stopped.
Fair enough. And when it comes to searching the vehicle, you can refuse a search, but they have to be able to produce an articulable reason why it's justified, and or if a dog sniffs, because that's allowed outside the vehicle, and if the dog alerts, then they're allowed to search, right? That's the short version of searching.
Yeah, that's the short version. They can do that. I mean, the police department has, you know, all night long, all day long, they can go get a search warrant if they need to. Mm-hmm. They can hook to the vehicle with a search warrant. So that's something that they can do. But first of all, they're going to ask you, can I have permission to search that vehicle? That's where they're going to start.
And you know, the one thing that a police officer is obligated to tell the truth about is your constitutional rights. And so, you know, even if you ask, you know, do I have to let you search it? The police officer can't pretend you have to, right? Like they
right.
Basically tell you, no, you can, you know, you can deny me. We'll go get a search warrant. We'll bring the dog. You know, we'll do whatever we're going to do. But that's one of the things that police officers are actually obligated to tell the truth about is constitutional rights, right?
Absolutely. And they will. They'll tell you exactly what's going on.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. We always appreciate it. A lot of really good information today. And we hope for another Q Word week before I talk to you next Thursday. We'll talk to you then, sir.
Okay. Going for the Q.
That's right.